Bellina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Thursday, we're going to go like this. We're going to do a listen-in. It's a love letter to college football. You know, always be college football. You probably hear me reference it almost once a week. That's the Greg McElroy College Football Podcast. He does two in-season college football season, more podcasts a week. He loves college football, like truly the sport of, not just like the SEC. I don't know if you know, he's an A&M fan. He loves everything about Aggie football. And I don't mean just the wins on the field. He loves the crowds and he loves what's going on here. And I just enjoy listening to him while I'm working at my desk each week. He did something, and it's the top 35 things we love about college football, which ends up being a love letter about the sport. And A&M made the list. What specifically, I'm going to let you find out for yourself. So we're going to do a listen-in today from the Always Be College Football Podcast with Greg McElroy. It's the top 35 things we love about college football. Oh, it's fun. It's really fun. I know that at 1:35, we're going to visit with the gang from the Troubadour Barbecue and Music Festival. 1 week from Saturday, the Troubadour Barbecue and Music Festival takes over Aggie Park. I am going to be there. I've been looking forward to this for months and months. You got 34 of the top barbecue places in Texas. I mean, they just basically invited everyone from the top 20 of the Texas Monthly top 50 barbecue places in Texas. You'll have access to barbecue places you would never be able to go to. And incredible music, right? So at 1:35, hope to be visiting with one of the barbecue pit masters that's going to be in town 1 week from Saturday. We'll see how it turns out. What else? You can join me. You can call. You can text. 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. If you're calling me, we can hang out on the Smoothie King hotline. It's where my guests join me. It's where you talk to me. It's where you win great stuff. The Smoothie King hotline. If you text me, and it's extremely popular, texting is, I will see your text message inside the Texas Mobile One Lube Express inbox. Texas Mobile One Lube Express. And it is brought to you by Gabriel Garcia. He's the owner. He's in charge over at Texas Mobile One Lube Express. So there you go. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things to hang out and do. We'll begin our day kind of how we do each and every day. It's the maroon and white notebook. Aggie softball took part of a game that lasted technically for almost 8 hours. It was 2 hours and 20 minutes on a game clock. It had a 4 hour and 2 minute delay that was horrific in the Y's. It started an hour late because the game before it went to extra innings, and the window that ESPN put together is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen scheduling-wise. Because nobody plays softball games in 2 hours. Oh, yeah, there's a mandatory 35 in between. So a 1 o'clock A&M softball game that could have started at 2:30, or a 1 o'clock A&M softball game that could have started at 12:30, actually first pitched at 2, went into extra innings, went into a lightning delay at 4:02. ESPN could not decide when they wanted to restart the game, and they waited so long, I mean like 90 minutes or so. I guess they didn't have a TV window that they wanted, that by the time any decision was made to restart the game, rain was coming, and there was no point in restarting the game, and you ended up with a 4 hour and 2 minute rain delay. Went into it at 4:02, and this is a game that was two outs, top of the eighth with South Carolina. They needed 20 minutes to finish the game. In the 4 hour rain delay, you had at least 90 minutes, if not more, where there was no lightning, no rain, no reason to delay except for ESPN. So the two teams waited 4 hours to come back and play, like, I don't know, was it 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and finally end the game. Aggies were eliminated by South Carolina 1-0. It was a great game. So old school, it kind of hurt. It made me want to watch it in black and white. Pitchers, duels, 5 hits combined. South Carolina with their 4th win of the year over A&M. Swept them in the regular season. 1-0'd them in the SEC tournament. And the SEC tournament, just so you'll know, understand, it's a one and done. You get one loss, you're done. There's no double limb. So the Aggies now are 1-9 all time at the SEC tournament. Not a lot to say. Pitching was brilliant. Shaylee Ackerman threw a no-hitter through 4 and was pulled. And then Emily Kennedy in relief, 4 innings, 1 run. Pitching was absolutely simply just brilliant. But the offense was not. The South Carolina pitcher, she's their ace. She's not necessarily an ace. I don't know if she's quite an All-American pitcher. And by the way, I don't know. They had 2 hits. The number of walks the Aggies had were 3. So 5 base runners. And this is me trying to remember. That the delays really messed me up. I think 1 runner got to 2nd. They didn't really even threaten to score. A&M didn't. It was frustrating to watch. So the Aggies are eliminated. And up next, you're starting to think about the postseason. That's what's next. As of this morning, Aggie softball is a 27 RPI. They're in the NCAA tournament. That's not a doubt. That's never been in question. It's safe. You don't have to worry. They're in. Their RPI has slipped to 27. They have been higher. And they're an unprotected 2 seed at 27. If you're at 20, you're protected 2 seed, but not really protected. And what does unprotected 2 mean? The SEC tournament can make them a 3 seed for geography as an unprotected 2. They could send them anywhere and they won't be hosing over, you know, one of the top 8 national seeds. If 17 through 24 was sent there, a national seed would be concerned. They'd be getting one of the top half of the 2 seeds. So at 27, A&M's like an unprotected 2. There's kind of 3 options for the postseason. The University of Texas is now at 10. If they were in the top 8, the committee might pause, saying that A&M, now that they've slipped an RPI, they can't say is too good of a 2 anymore. But that would have been maybe a factor. One of the randomness is due to the geography of Texas Austin Regional, they end up with like 10 different teams because you got like the Southland champion. You've got random, you'd be surprised. And usually someone from the West Coast, Pac-12, has to fly because they all can't host. Matter of fact, a year ago, it was bizarre. The NCAA tournament went on the warpath against the Pac-12. So it's almost, as weird as it sounds, hard for A&M to go to the Austin Regional based upon geography. This being the last year before Texas joins. NCAA loves storylines. Shifting A&M East could be tough. So I'm ranking where A&M softball could end up in the postseason. I put Austin Regional as the number 1. Baylor is a wild card. They're a 17. They're not hosting. They could get pulled up if there's someone who can't host in the top 16. I don't see a single school in the top 16. If there's too many SEC hosts, Waco could host. If Baylor will host, I almost think A&M's a lock to go to Austin. If not, then Waco is the default, but they could stay in the state of Texas. Number two, Norman, Oklahoma. The NCAA Selection Committee has sent A&M to the Norman Regional. It's like for the past 6 years. If I'm off, I'm not off by much. It's been absurd. They did this at a time that Oklahoma became a dynasty. You know, they've won three out of the past four national championships. They're going to win it again this year. You know, Oklahoma now has that NIL fund. They restocked with three All-Americans and an all, you know, conference player. They didn't have to do what everyone else does because they have a real softball NIL. They just bought everyone. So they are a dynasty, and with the current model for the NCAA, they should be a dynasty for a long time. There's not, unless another school is willing to ante up like they do for softball players, and 999,999 out of 1 million schools will not ante up like that for softball. So, A&M softball postseason destinations. Austin, if Waco moves up into the top 16, Austin, Norman, and then if they fill Austin, like if we just took what we see today, and they fill Austin and Baylor still outside, A&M's eligible for flying, and they can go almost anywhere. And as an unprotected two, they'll end up at one of the national seeds. So they could go to UCLA. They can go to Oklahoma State instead of Oklahoma. Still send them in that direction, but not quite to Norman, but Stillwater and Duke. There you go. Maybe a little bit more postseason talk you wanted, but I found it fascinating. Flying would be the most interesting. They have never been to Stillwater, I believe, for a postseason. They've been to Florida State before, and Duke would be wholly unique, and Duke's part of the new faces. There's a lot of East Coast between the ACC and the way the SEC that way. But you will have, there's always, the ACC regionals all have 2 and 3 seeds of SEC almost. Because of geography. And if A&M has to fly, that's why I can see them being wild-carded out to UCLA. Let's grab a timeout, come back. Maroon and White Notebook continues with Jimbo Fisher at the Fort Worth A&M Club. And, oh, it was beautiful. Taking some shots at TCU. I thought it was brilliant. We'll be right back. We're just getting started. Hi, hello. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab Studio. Show just getting started, Thursday edition, the Louis Belina Show, presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. I did want to share, we're in the Maroon and White Notebook, it's how we kick off and roll in, usually hour number one each and every day. Talked about Aggie softball, eliminated from the SEC tournament, 1-0-8 with a 4-hour plus rain, ESPN, and lightning delay. That's how you end up with 4 hours. Okay? That's how you end up with 4 hours. Something, softball SEC announced that the 2024 SEC softball tournament will be held at Auburn. And we're not going to talk about future SEC softball tournaments. There's just something for me in there. A, Davis Diamond should be hosting every other year. Oh, Lou, A&M softball homer. Of course you say that. No, Davis Diamond was an experience for every softball team that came here. The coaches had their minds blown. There was so much facility beyond just Davis Diamond. You know, they had that mini like soccer field outside right field wall to warm up on. They had the other old softball field that still hasn't been torn down to practice on, every aspect. And then, of course, the facility itself is beyond anything else in the league, beyond anything else. It drains brilliant. Had rain, didn't affect a thing. Affect, basically. And since, you know, A&M's the outlier, but then you're going to add Texas OU, OU's new facility is might become the new standard. We'll see. OU dumped a lot of money. They were tired of not being in the conversation considering all the success they had. So they're building a new super mega, hey, look at us thing. And they've earned it. But that's not even why I bring this up. It's to be held at Auburn. Question, how much have you traveled in the SEC? I've traveled to everywhere at least once. Most places probably four or more times. Auburn's one of the weirdest. Weird's the wrong word. It's unique in its ununiqueness. Auburn's probably the most unmemorable SEC town I've been to. But there's nothing wrong with it. See, I say everything, being critical and kind of like just unimpressed, but there's nothing wrong. I'm not going to sit there and say, I don't hate Auburn at all. It just, in the SEC, you've got so many places with flavor. True South. It's amazing to travel throughout the league. And Auburn's just kind of there. Nothing wrong, nothing right, nothing unique, nothing negative. Just kind of there. When OU and Austin, the Longhorns join, the whole keep Austin weird thing, right, is not going to fly in the SEC. Georgia is the version of acceptable, liberal, be weird, funky, unique, artistic. Georgia already is like the limits and the definition for the SEC. Austin, it's so weird. A&M's been the outlier, geographically speaking. I think Austin's going to be the outlier culturally and philosophically. They don't fit the SEC. Norman is a little bit different. They're going to fall into that nowhere. They don't belong to anything. They don't unbelong to anything. They're Auburn again. Have you been to Norman when A&M was in the SEC? I think everyone's been to Norman. And, you know, you got the casino. Other than that, it's a very, it's there. Easy road trip. Oklahoma City, rock on. And you probably should have stayed in Oklahoma City if you're down there for an OU game. Point being, I was kind of thinking about the new makeup of the SEC in each and every way, and Texas is going to be the outlier. They're the ones that's, from day one, A&M was beyond a cultural fit. A&M fit the SEC culturally better than it fit any other league, and for those that don't remember the Southwest Conference, that was like all Texas schools. You know, that should have been the one. I think A&M fit culturally, philosophically, the SEC better than the SWC, and that's just bizarre. So, but Texas is going to get a whole different experience. What was I reading? Oh, Jimbo Fisher. He's the head coach, Aggie football. You know that. He was in Fort Worth yesterday. He was doing the Fort Worth A&M Club. He was, I don't know, the TCU run obviously came up, and he was brilliant in his response. He said this with a laugh. They stayed healthy. They had a lot of experience. They got to where they've got to get to. And when they got to the SEC, it changed, didn't it? You get what he's saying, right? Like, he gives them credit for taking care of their business, gotten to where they're getting to. But then when it was time to play an SEC opponent, they got blown out 65-7 by Georgia. Brilliant. And I kind of, in my own head, 100% accurate. Football's fun until you get to the SEC. Then it becomes a man's game. In the other leagues, they try hard and it's precious. In the other leagues, you know, you admire, well, that was a cute 9-3 season. In the SEC, 9-3 might not rank in the top six. It's just different. We could say it just means more. And I know that you can never make money, make t-shirts, you know, win the advertising slogan of the year with "it's just different." But that's true of the SEC too. It's just different. It's just different. So Texas, I think, is not physically ready to join the SEC. Texas culturally is not ready for the SEC. Now, okay, am I a Longhorn hater? Yeah, I want to fight them at every turn. I have been offended by them. And over the years, the whole maroon and white versus burnt orange, I've lived it for a long time. But the one thing you have to know about me is I don't have auto reactions. When you're a part of something, you're trained to have an auto reaction just because. I actually think and look at something versus auto. So I would look at something, Texas, and analyze it before I then would pee on it and light it on fire. You understand? Texas won't be ready physically, and they're not going to fit culturally. And yet, they're going to be the loudest for a while in the SEC. I think Texas is going to be in store for rocky roads starting next summer. Because again, that last part, and they're going to be the loudest, is of note. I think that's something we have to understand. Texas is sending their president, right, to this year's SEC Media Days. You know, and it's so funny. He's there to get the lay of the land. You know, I believe Texas, though, you still don't have voting rights, so they have no need in any way. But okay. It's funny. He said he wants to make sure to at least have a, you know, even though they have nothing official, but a, you know, presence when it comes to schedule decisions and things like that. And he talked about it publicly. That's the stuff you just do. You don't have to tell us what you're doing, but it's Texas, and that's PR. They want to make sure to let the world know that they're telling the SEC what they think versus they're just a part of the SEC. Of course, you're going to say something about scheduling. It's the Texas way. You know, in The Mandalorian, this is the way. In Austin, they have their way too. Back to Jimbo in the comment. Truth. Absolute truth. And look, the TCU run was brilliant and we all loved it. And them beating Michigan might have been one of the most exciting semifinal games ever. But then, as Jimbo said, and when they got to the SEC, it changed, didn't it? When they got to the SEC, it changed. My biggest fear that TCU was going to have a hangover from having a playoff win when it was never a reality and they pulled the upset and they shocked the world and, you know, 10 days or whatever was not enough time to mentally recover and practice and prepare for Georgia and then play the game. And I think that's as big a factor as Georgia. Because remember, the key to Georgia is not scoring 65 points. The seven part is the reality of what Georgia's D do and then probably beats them like 28-7 and it's a blowout because you never threatened them. The 65 part to me indicated the hangover in that game. The 7 is what you expected from Georgia's D. Nice job. Well done, Jimbo Fisher. Complimenting them. They got done what they had to get gotten done and then making a point of it's different when you play in the league, isn't it? I loved it. Let me step aside. When we return, a text message or two. And if you want to join in on the conversation, if you've got something that you got to say, text 979-693-1150. 979-693-1150. Hit send. I see all your text messages inside the Texas Mobile and Lube Express inbox. Let me step aside. This is the Louis Bellina Show. I hope you know that, but I know people are new to town. Hi, hello. I'm Louis Bellina, and you're listening to the Louis Bellina Show. All you new people, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. We talk a whole lot of A&M. We talk more than just A&M. And we do have a lifestyles portion of the Louis Bellina Show where we don't talk sports at all. So we just kind of hang out Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Inside, I am the Charles Schwab Studio. Simmons tells me it's home time, but I'm not finished. Because you're not by my side.
carrying your shoes. Decided that once again I was just dreaming of bumping into you. Now it's 3 in the morning.
Thanks for hanging out. The Louis Belina Show presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. Text messages. First one up is Peruna in College Station. Auburn just seems a bit boring. Decent food nearby, but largely unremarkable. Arkansas still like parachuting into Russia. Again, I said it earlier, Auburn, that's the problem. It's the most nondescript, unmemorable, where there's nothing wrong. I want to be clear about that. There's nothing wrong of all the SEC schools. And I'm not saying all the rest are Wonderland, but Auburn's very nondescript. It's very little to remember. And if you search, and that's the thing in all the travels, I always searched. I always wanted to have an experience in the SEC towns. And you say Arkansas is still like parachuting into Russia. That's not, well, Arkansas, but when you go to Fayetteville, when you go to the University of Arkansas, the number one thing that blew my mind is I knew Arkansas, all the jokes, you know, five family members, one toothbrush, and all the, you know, Chip and the old timers, the Vietnam and all that. Fayetteville's a hipster town now. It's been, everyone there has so much stinking money that Fayetteville, the downtown around the school area, has been like revamped, revitalized, whatever you want to call it. It's hipster. The places to eat and so forth. It was weird. It was so against expectation. Now, I'm not talking about the state of Arkansas. I'm talking about Fayetteville. I remember the first time I just kept walking around going, are we in the right place? You know, are we in Arkansas? B, is this Fayetteville? Because this matches nothing told or expected. That was a real tour bush wow. There was some good eating there. Now, mind you, limited but still available. And there are parts of Fayetteville, when you go towards one of the outskirts of it, that you go, ah, this is closer to what people said. 979-693-1150. Allen in Amarillo wants me to explain something that's now 10, 12 years old. He's just curious about a 10 to 12-year-old concept. And it's like, do I? And I kind of voted. And Alan, I know you're a longtime listener. He's a friend of mine. No, I'm not going to go over a 10 to 12-year-old concept again. J84, for the money invested, TCU ain't going too bad. Truth. Yeah, truth. I'm absolutely. TCU, I tip my cap to them because TCU got left behind. Southwest Conference broke up. Well, they weren't one of the ones that were picked for the Big 12 or forced by government law into the Big 12. And they then went on a journey. Like if you were to Wikipedia TCU and see their conference affiliations, they did anything they had to do to improve their standing. They probably joined five different conferences. I think they were part of the Big East football conference that never happened because their whole goal was to become Power Five. And they got the money to make their dreams come true because TCU's got money. Never get confused. They got money. So TCU, you know, they got their finish line, which wasn't make the college football playoff, which I'm sure was a dream, but they got into the Big 12. And a Big 12, which I will be honest with you, has impressed me. They have been fighting for survival for pretty much 4 to 6 years. And not only have they survived, but they've got a, you know, great ESPN deal, nice, you know, TV slots. And this is post-Texas OU. They created value for themselves. No, they're not Big Ten, ACC, SEC. No, but it doesn't matter. They're valuable TV inventory. They have a place in the world. And TCU itself, not only did they get to their promised land, which was a Power Five, They're the first Texas team to ever make the college football playoff, and they will forever be in the record books as the first Texas team to win a college football playoff game. Done. I got a phenomenal text message here I'll share with you from a really good friend of mine who goes, I did radio there for about 3 years, and we're talking about Arkansas and Fayetteville, and his oldest kid is going to go to, I guess, Arkansas after her senior year here. So I didn't know that, which is awesome. But he made a statement, brilliant insight. Fayetteville is Austin 40 years or so behind and always has been. And with my experiences, I think that's a brilliant analysis. I think that's, you know, ding, ding, we got a winner. Think of Fayetteville, and I know, but that concept of it being Austin, being hipster, is anti everything we've ever come to know, think, ridicule Austin of Arkansas. So you could still rip the state to shreds, being redneck, whatever you want to call it. But Fayetteville, big chunks of it are not like that at all, actually. We continue along. That's enough text messages for now. 979-693-1150. Hit send after you go tap, tap, backspace, backspace, tap, 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 send. Light up the Texas Mobile and Lube Express inbox. Texas Mobile and Lube Express owned by Gabriel Garcia. Graduation Texas A&M begins today. 79 student athletes are set to graduate starting today. 7 of them will be getting their master's degrees, which I applaud. I still believe that the average human being does not understand what a student athlete does, which is why we end up with so many bad takes of what's good and bad and what they do and don't deserve. To be a student athlete, and I kind of almost don't care about the sport, you are working a 70-hour a week full-time job. Oh, and then you get to be a student, which is a full-time job. And it changes just who they are and what they can and can't do in their entire college experience. And, you know, not all of them get degrees. Hell, some of them don't go to class even for a couple of years. So congratulations, I say. Congratulations. 79 student athletes are walking starting today through Saturday, and 6, is it? 7 will be getting their master's degrees. Very, very, very cool. Got more. We're now switching to just kind of college football notebook in general. The University of Georgia, the Bulldogs, have declined their White House invite to celebrate their national championship. The way this was set up, the Bulldogs were invited for June 12th. This was an event that was going to be with other college teams at the White House. The event was going to be College Athlete Day, with Georgia kind of, I guess, the centerpiece of College Athlete Day. The University of Georgia has responded and declined the invite. They never said why. Oh, they did. They just said it interferes June 12th with the student athlete calendar. Not what part. It's a really bizarre answer, because we all know the student athlete calendar. You can look it up, and it doesn't. Maybe Georgia has an off-season calendar, which means then they could change if they wanted to go to the White House. They just didn't say. Do they? You know, look, they had already been the year before. They don't feel like they need to. Are they insulted because they didn't get their own invitation? It's part of a bigger College Athlete Day, so Georgia's pissed that their spotlight got, you know, sucked up. It's all possible. So, I don't know. I keep going back into this one. I saw that, and they didn't say, so it's usually not a good sign. And if it's a student-athlete calendar interference, it's not an NCAA calendar, it's a Georgia calendar, which means you just adjust. And I, for me, in my skeptical, pessimistic head on certain things, I don't think they wanted to be a part of College Athlete Day. They wanted their own day. And here's what's weird about just the White House, period, having a College Athlete Day. The two basketball champions, UConn and LSU, are going on May 26th. Why are they not on College Athlete Day on June 12th? Why is basketball getting its own day, not the national champions football? I don't understand how this is all being set up. That's all. I thought it was odd and interesting all in the same time. I did, yes. Now, I'm about to have a question of the day. Question kind of the moment. And, you know, for me, it's always based upon something I read, something I've already been pondering in my head. Do you tailgate? And could you share a story of the best tailgate you've been to? Tailgating has always been fascinating to me because, A, I love it. I'm almost obsessed with it. I think I've been to some of the best tailgates I've ever seen. And B, I almost never get to do it, which I think makes my memories and the times I get to experience tailgating like enhanced on steroids. Because it's rare. I mean, like an Aggie football home game, I'll do this zone pregame show, Olin and Cease. And then 30 minutes after the game, Dusty and I do the zone call-in show. And then there's the game itself. You can't tailgate with that. In the Big 12, the games are so close that there weren't great Aggie road tailgates at all, really. And in the Southwest Conference, when you go down to Houston, Austin, Dallas, the cities were your tailgate. You didn't have to tailgate on presence. So, but I've, you know, here and there, I've had opportunities to tailgate. Texans tailgating when they first were franchised. Oh my, that was insane awesome. Do you tailgate? Could you share a quick story about maybe what the best tailgate insert here? Food, beer, experience, friend. What story you got? And why am I asking this? 1205 best college tailgates, yet another ranking. But we're going to talk tailgating. That's why. I'm giving you a head start on the thought process. I'm letting you share with me. Do you tailgate? College pro, do you tailgate? Share your tailgate story experience with me. Best, worst, doesn't matter. I still think one of my favorite tailgate experiences for me is when A&M was at Clemson and I partied with the like Washington A&M club who did a rally at the Clemson game. And I think I started with them 6 hours before kickoff. Great day. And then watching and seeing the Clemson tailgate was the first time I ever found out what a true college tailgating looked like, smelt like, felt like. That was the first time ever I went, whoa. The entire campus, not one blade of grass on campus at Clemson was not tailgated on, and it stretched for miles. The whole town was one big tailgate. Oh, glorious it was. So you could text me up, 979-693-1150. And I'll be right back. We'll wrap up. Wow. I'm like sad. We're really going to wrap up hour number one already? I believe we're going to have to. They make me do these things. I don't get to vote on it. This is the Louis Belina Show from inside the Charles Schwab studio on a Thursday. You know I'm into local, right? And it doesn't matter what aspect of my life, whether it's my food, my car. Well, why would it be any different if you're talking about your money? I would like to introduce you to, recommend to you, look, just Google and find out more about Mark Sim. He is our local Charles Schwab dude. And Mark himself, brilliant. This is the world he lives in. He's worked from the biggest of the bigs, you know, like those like billion-dollar things to just the everyday guy. He's got the expertise. It's what he does, and he's done for a long time and done at the highest level and does great. And then he's got the power of Charles Schwab with him. That's Mark Sim right here in College Station. If you're interested, wow, local and Charles Schwab, go to schwab.com/collegestation. Find out more about Mark Sim. Find out more about Charles Schwab.
This is The Zone. The Zone. Aggieland's all sports station.
The Louis Belina Show. Wrapping up hour number one. We're heading towards lunchtime. Lunchtime, of course, thanks to Rudy's Barbecue. Today, lifestyles portion of the Louis Belina Show. Again, a lot of new people, a lot of transitioning. Lifestyles means not sports. It's just stuff that all sports fans, TV, movie streaming, whiskey, beer, wine, pizza, burgers, nachos. It's just things from the life that we live. Did you know that today is National Eat What You Want Day? I actually knew that. I get a National Day calendar email. And so I knew today was National Eat What You Want Day. I have lived my life. And if you look at me and, you could tell that I kind of follow the philosophy of eat what you want. I love food. And in honor of National Eat What You Want Day, there was this huge poll survey. Normally a poll survey does like 1,000, 10,000. This was a huge poll survey asking people about what they want to eat. When faced with the choice of a sandwich or a burger, 60% said a burger. I actually think I would go sandwich. Burgers, I'm so picky. I mean, I want a great burger. I don't want a burger at all. A boring to average burger is an insult when there's so many great burgers in the world. Harvey Washbangers, best burgers in town. Then they asked pizza or French fries, which who's not going to say pizza? Only 63% of the people said pizza. Now, when it came down to pizza, pepperoni pizza or plain cheese? I know people like to... I've heard there's something called a veggie pizza. I once heard someone order it and the place went silent. We could never find out who it was or if such a thing exists as a veggie pizza. But rumor has it, it's a thing. I am boring in my pizza. And that, you know what I want? Double pepperoni, extra cheese. And I'm happy. So making people pick between pepperoni or plain, it was 50-50. They could not decide. Nope, could not decide. And for me, either one's perfect. But if it's a cheese pizza, I do like the kind of, how you can get the 3 and 4 cheese type pizzas. Oh, yeah, please. RX, the way they do the blue cheese, how they know perfectly how much to put on there, because blue cheese is dangerous cheese to work with. I give them credit all the time. Then they asked, eat anything, waffles or pancakes? 50-50. I've lived a sheltered life. You have to understand, I don't know of anyone I've ever met that would pick a waffle over a pancake. But if it's 50-50, I need to get out more. Cakes or cupcakes? 53% said cake. I'm cupcakes. I love cupcakes. I'm obsessed with cupcakes. I will eat cupcakes anytime, night or day. Apples or oranges? Stop. You can't compare the two. Then they said broccoli or cauliflower, and from there, it all went to hell. Any survey that's going to ask me broccoli or cauliflower, that's a hard pass. The final one, vanilla or chocolate. I'm vanilla, but my favorite one, Bluebell makes this coffee-flavored ice cream. Oh, oh, big fan. Vanilla ice cream or chocolate. 53% said vanilla. Yes, we, the vanilla people, have finally taken over. When we return, tailgating. Like I kind of mentioned earlier, we've got to talk about tailgating. This is the Louis Belina Show, which you do know, right? Presented by B&B Automotive and Superior Auto Service. And we're heading towards lunchtime. Lunchtime, thank you, Rudy's Barbecue.
To find the complete list of prize contest rules for the Zone 1150 and 93.7 FM, visit zone1150.com. This is KZNE College Station Bryan.
From WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on the Zone. Brazos County Commissioners show no opposition to do a $3 million renovation of the county's road and bridge department building. That's in comparison to spending $6 million on